GameCube.
That dude.
GameCube. Again, I'm straight up out the Clem town. Detroit City.
The MC Nerd Jock Show. Welcome back to the MC Nerd Jock Show with your host, GameCube That Dude.
What up, Doe? And welcome back. Yes, bringing it back old school. Had to bring back that coast to coast mixtapes, On my blog era, music heads. Y'all remember what it was like being on them sites, them torrent sites, trying to get all the exclusives. Brings me back, man. Yeah. So we back. And we back. And we back. And we back. And we back. That's loud, though. I don't know if I like it that loud. Let's see what we can do here. Bring it back down. Alright. Check it. I like that much better. That's much better, don't you? Y'all think? We came in banging. Yeah. We back, man. It feels good. How y'all doing? Yes, 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 yes. I forgot the applause. Yeah, it's draft week. NFL draft in Detroit. I haven't been down there yet, but I've seen pictures, man. The whole campus marsh, all of it is like redone. I'm excited to kind of see it, how it looks on TV. To see, you know, downtown, how it looks, you know, on TV. Because obviously I've seen it in person 1,000 times, especially when I used to work downtown. So, man, I'm excited. I don't know if you could tell the energy in my voice. Can you feel it? Can y'all feel that? Feel the vibration. Feel the vibrations. You know what I'm saying? It feels good, man. It's lovely Friday. Friday morning, I hope y'all get to play hooky today. And if you live in the Detroit metro area, I hope you get to play hooky and get to make it down there, downtown. I'm going to try to make it down there today. Maybe tomorrow I'll bring the kids. Heard there's a bunch of like family-friendly stuff too, because that was my worry. Like I was a little nervous about trying to go down there with the kids, because I'm like, yo, this is about to be... I've been downtown when there's something going on and it gets pretty crazy, let alone this is the NFL draft. So we got a bunch of out-of-towners too. We got thousands of out-of-towners on top of, you know, the millions of people already here in Metro Detroit that are going to be downtown. Cause you know, we love our Lions and, we never had nothing like this before. Ain't never had nothing like this before. You feel me? So I'm gonna have like more in-depth sports stuff as far as like where, now that the NBA season is over, kind of talk about the Pistons season and where, you know, what changes they might need to. I mean, they need to make changes, right? Obviously, just kind of what direction we want to see them go. Next week is gonna be the homie episode. So I have a couple of my homies on, my lifelong Pistons fan, my friend that's a lifelong Pistons fan, the homie, and my other homie who works out in El Segundo for a TV station. So they'll be on with us next week, maybe the next week after that. I got to figure that out. But yeah, either way. We'll get more in depth about what we want to see from our teams next year, especially after this NFL draft. We'll know a little bit more with the Lions, where they're trying to head, based off of their draft moves. So we'll get more in depth on that. Man, I tried to watch some playoff basketball, man. It's too much going on. Got too many kids, man. They're a blessing. I love them. But when it comes to trying to watch different stuff for this, it definitely makes it harder, you know, trying to do that, share TV time and just stay awake. I got two young ones, so everybody went to sleep and then they woke back up. So I didn't really get to watch the game the other day. I did see the highlights, so I did see, I saw Jamal Murray. Man, that dude is vicious when it comes to playoffs. You know what I mean? They talk about Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy. They need to talk about playoff Jamal, because Jamal be going off, man. Be going crazy. He's clutch, super clutch. They had a nasty fadeaway to win the game. After they came back, the Nuggets came back down by 20 against the Lakers. So, yeah, man, this is an interesting playoffs, to say the least. And it might be, man, I hate to say it, but this might be the last one for LeBron. I know he's trying to play with his son. I honestly don't know if his son should even come out of the draft, to be honest with you. I just looked to where they have some of these. Oh, no, that was high school. They got the rankings for high school that they're doing. Yeah, man, this might be LeBron's last one, but we'll get more into that next week. For this week, though, they did finally finalize the U.S. men's basketball roster for the 2024 Olympics in Paris this July, which I don't know about you guys, but I grew up watching the Olympics heavy because I ran track and field, so I ran track. In high school and stuff, and middle school, and so I've always watched track and field. Like I legit watch it during the summer. I'm one of those weirdos who's inside watching sports. So yeah, man, I'm excited for the Olympics. You know, I'm sure, you know, after the NBA season's over, they'll start to talk about it more. But here we go. Here's the roster. We got LeBron James, because I don't know if you guys have been following along, but this is also the roster because they got spanked by Canada in the FIBA tournament. So you know how the USA does. If we get beat, then we're like, all right, we got to overdo it for the next one. We're going to bring all of our all-stars, which you know how that goes. Some people feel like they should do this every year. Some people feel like it's overkill. You know, it is what it is. International game has gotten way better than it used to be, so I feel like if we're trying to win, then we can't afford to not send our best players. But all right, so we got LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, Tyrese Halliburton, Devin Booker, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Jrue Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Kawhi Leonard. There you go. That is all 12 players to fill out the roster. It should be interesting, man. I think that's a very solid team. I mean, they're small. But like quick, you know what I mean? Joel Embiid's the biggest player. That's the worry, though. There's going to be a lot of minutes for Bam because Joel and Embiid and Anthony Davis going to try to stay healthy. And Kawhi. There's a lot of people here that's just older and they can get injured. So I don't know. This would be interesting. Definitely be interesting for sure, to say the least. But yeah, man, I'm excited for it. We'll see what's up. Last little thing, I did notice this was kind of cool anecdote before we get into other stuff besides sports. The Cincinnati Cyclones, which I don't even think I've ever heard of them because I'm pretty sure they're not an NHL team. Let's see here. They are, okay, the New York Rangers affiliate. So it must be, you know, like a step down. I don't really know what they would call the leagues up under. Hockey's weird, man. Hockey's got a million different professional leagues. It's different than, like, basketball. And even, and honestly, even baseball, for that matter, where it's a little bit more classified with the AA and A baseball and all that kind of stuff. Hockey's, the minor leagues are, there's a million different leagues. So, and that's just, you know, in America, there's Canadian leagues. Like, it's, there's a lot going on in hockey. So we have a Cincinnati Cyclones. They made history by starting the first ever all-black lineup in pro hockey, as far as we know, because low-key, black people have been playing hockey since Nova Scotia days. So, yeah, man, this is dope. We coming back. Shout out Jason Richardson, the first black dude I ever knew to play hockey. I mean, I like hockey. Like, I was just watching playoff hockey. I was watching the Bruins versus Tampa Bay, or no, Toronto. I'm sorry, the Maple Leafs and the Bruins, original six. So, yeah, it was. You know, I mean, playoff hockey to me is like is top tier excitement, especially when you get into shootouts. It's similar to soccer for me in that way, but it's a quicker pace. Obviously, hockey's quicker pace, man, and it's actually pretty exciting. If you've never been to a hockey game, I encourage you to go on some level, some whether it's like a minor league or whether you're going to NHL. But it's a fun game. I've been to a few Red Wings games back when they were still at Joe Louis Arena. Haven't been to a hockey game at LCA yet. But at some point, we'll see. Oh, all right. So check this out. Yeah, I'm going to play to y'all this. So I saw this. This had me dying laughing. So I don't know if you remember. Here you go. I'll just play it.
Have the ski mask on. It was cold. It was really cold out there. I mean, even being in a dome, I didn't know Detroit was a dome until we right before Coach had a team meeting. He's like, Puka, you know we're playing in a dome. I was like, Coach, I thought we were gonna be outside. I've been practicing with my side ski on the whole week.
My first thought was like, why isn't Puka Nacua out there? Because I was looking for the hair. And then I saw, wait a minute, that's 17 wearing like cold weather gear. It's indoors. So you did not know the Lions played indoors?
No, I didn't. I know it's bad. Trust me, the guys let me know it that week during meetings. They're like, "What are you doing, Puka?"
So then, when'd you take it off?
I had a drink of water. I was like, starting to like almost waterboard myself. My ski mask became wet. I'm like trying to breathe, and they're like, "We're going to Coach McVay's." No, hold on. I'm like, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe, Coach." Like somebody tip me out of here. So then you took it. Then I had to take it off.
That's hilarious to me. So he had no idea that the Lions didn't play in an outdoor arena. So my man came with the shiesty. He was ready. He came all geared up. Which brings me to my point, like, man, I've always thought that the Lions have missed an opportunity, man. Because there's no reason that they shouldn't be, you know, we should be able to take advantage of that weather, man. We can't, because we don't have a retractable roof, man. They really missed out when they built Ford Field. They should have made a retractable roof. Green Bay, I'm telling you, they use it to their advantage. They've done it against the Lions a million times, playing in that cold weather late into the season. And I'm telling you, the Lions, we would be a playoff team on the regular if we had a retractable roof. I'm telling you, it's all facts. I see no lies. I see no lies.
Somebody wake me up from this nightmare, because I gotta be dreaming. Who do these genius spy catchers think they're dealing with? Winnie the Pooh.
And we back. I gotta come up with something new. I don't know what else to say, but we back. At it again. One more again. We here. It's us. We doing it. It's live. I don't know. Nothing sounds good. Y'all tell me. Figuring it out. So, yeah, man. X-Men. My goodness. It's not for the weak-hearted. Not for the weak-hearted. Where'd you find this? Yo, on a serious note, for real, man. X-Men 97, my goodness. Yo, shout out to the homie Aaron on Ignorant Genius podcast. They were talking about, on their podcast, they were talking about DC versus Marvel, like which one's better. After these last two episodes of X-Men 97, it's Marvel. Hands down. They're up by 20. Because this X-Men 97 is like light years beyond what I expected it was going to be coming into this, man, with them bringing it back after 30 years. It's better. Like I said, they're doing it. I really thought that, like, hey, this would be like my kids would be able to kind of grow up on this the way I did. Nah. I don't really, this is not for the weak hearted. I'm trying to tell y'all. This is real deal. They doing it with this one. This is for a more mature audience. You feel me? Spoiler alerts, hold on. Where we got them? Hold on, let me turn the down a little bit so you can hear my spoilers. Where we at?
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
What's the other one?
Cover your ears, cover
your oh, there we go.
Skip it. Cover your ears, skip it, and then come back.
Try that again.
Cover your ears, skip it, and then come back.
All right, there we go. I did all the spoilers. That's all you get. That should be plenty enough time to skip ahead and come back. Yo, so as I was saying, man, this X-Men 97 is not for the weak-hearted, man. Not at all. So we left off. Let's see. Hold on. I forget what the title. I didn't write down the title when I took down my notes. I took some mental notes for last Wednesday's episode, and then I actually wrote down some for this, the one from 2 days ago. When you guys are hearing this, so it's Friday morning. But I am recording this yesterday. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Little inception for you, a little meta. Let's see, where we at with it? Dang, Disney's not playing on their thing. They're really pushing everything but X-Men. All right, where you at with it? There we go. X-Men 97. All right, so check it. All right, so Life, Death, Part 2. So we have we left off with Storm and Forge. Forge got bit by that bird demon, and he looked like he was getting that same infection, that same virus, that ends up plaguing the X-Men, you know, in the future during Cable's time and Cable and Bishop's time. Sorry, I'm trying to go through. All right, so check it. So, yeah. So that's where they start us off for this episode. Back, you know, Storm's got to figure out how to shake this demon off of her and help out Forge. So Forge is starting to die. The demon's all up in her ear like, hey, yeah, I mean, you know how the devil comes and try to lie, cheat, you know, destroy, kill and destroy. That's what he's trying to do, right? So he's devil's all up in her ear like, yeah, I mean, this dude ain't even worth it. You know what I mean? He was trying to get you. You might as well just leave him. Just go ahead and leave him. You don't need him. And didn't you want you wanted to be human, right? Remember you talked about it with your friend. You said, hey, it would be nice to be. The demon even played it back in her voice. That's how the devil be trying to get you, man. Creep up in. You have self-doubt. He tries to amplify that self-doubt to make you think that's who you are and that's what you are. So that's what Storm's going through this, right? And also, during this, we get some cutscenes, and it takes us into... Actually, it starts off... My bad. It actually started off, and I meant to write... This is why I should have wrote this down when I watched this episode. It starts off, and it takes us into space, and we meet up with the Galactic Empire's SEAL team. Basically, they're SEAL Team 6. I forget. They actually have a name, but I forget the Imperial Army or the Imperial Guards, I think they're called. But they're part of the Shi'ar Empire, which is, if you guys remember from the Dark Phoenix saga, they're actually the original ones who held on to the Imran crystal, which kind of gave power to the Phoenix in some ways. So start us off there. They start us off with the Imperial Guards and my homie Gladiator, which was, when I was a kid, that was like one of my favorite non-X-Men. Was Gladiator, because he came through, he had his own little theme song. He came through looking like Superman, like a black Superman. And I was like, yo, this dude's fire, man. He's tough. And he's still tough. He's still one of them ones. You know what I'm saying? So it was dope seeing him again. And they had so they start him off there, and they're kind of showing them, and then they show, it's actually Lilandra's sister is leading this Imperial Army. And so they cut and they show Lilandra, and she's giving a speech to, like a hologram speech to all the citizens of their empire, the Shi'ar Empire. And here comes our boy. He walking. He's got this big old suit on. And we don't know who's about to show up. And then I skipped. So to show you how powerful the Shi'ar are, they're actually in a battle right now with the Kree. And so they show Ronan, which was fire, because, you know, they start... And the original X-Men from back in the 90s, there was only, like, maybe one or two episodes where they kind of showed someone outside of the X-Men, like someone outside of the MCU. I remember there was one scene where there was, like, something that was going on. It might have been the Phoenix Saga. There was, like, the whole planet was about to, like, explode or something, and they showed superheroes from around the world, and they did this cutscene from New York City, and you just saw like a shadow of this guy swinging and sticking to a wall, and of course it was supposed to be Spider-Man, but they didn't actually show him. And then at the end of the series, you get the one episode where they go back in time and you see Captain America and Wolverine working together as spies. So that was dope to like see them do that again. So we got to see Ronan, and we also got to see Lilandra's sister just put the work in real quick. They and Gladiator smashed Ronan. Like, Ronan was the one of them ones came through with Thor and them. And Ronan, you know, he's one of them. He's a real one. He's like a level B villain, I think. You know, he's not Thanos level, Kang level, but he's not a C. I don't think he's one of Spider-Man's villains. He's definitely like a B villain. It's going to take two or three Avengers to knock him off instead of just, you know, the one Spider-Man taking out Vulture. You know what I mean? He's not one of those. He's not street level. So he's definitely one of them ones. He's a made man, as some people like to say, you know what I mean? So they took him out with ease, that Imperial Army, Imperial Guards. Like, it almost looked like each one of them individually could take out Ronan by themselves. That's how quick they laid an end to that army. And so we see our boy Charles Xavier come through, walking, got this pure gold suit, a little purple on it. And then Lalandra announced in hologram form to all the citizens of the Shi'ar Empire that the Galactic Empire that she about to marry, they call him a Theron, a Theron or something, which is, you know, their slang for human or earthling. And she's like, yeah, I'm about to marry this Theron dude. And everyone's like, oh my goodness. They're all like this. Some people even. Yeah, wasn't nobody doing this. Nobody. Wasn't nobody doing that. Nobody was cheering. So then, you know, him and Xavier and Lalandra start talking. Xavier's like, yo, I want to go back home, see my peoples, you know what I mean? She's like, well, you supposed to be here with me. I done brought you back to life, and you talking about you trying to go? I done put in all this work, and you talking about you ain't spending the night? That's what Lalandra, that's basically what she's talking about. I done paid all this dinner. I done paid for your dinner. I done paid for you to get your nails done. I done paid for you to get your hair did. I done bought you some new shoes. What you mean you ain't spending the night? That's what Lalandra says. She said, Charles. Charles. I don't know what you thought this was, Charles, but you gonna stay. You gonna stay tonight. I'm gonna give me something. I'm leaving here with something. That's what she said. You ain't about to just dip like that. Yeah, you know I mean, so Charles was like, oh man, I feel you, you know, I wanna see my peoples, but you're right, you done got me back whole. Yeah, you know, you went out on the ledge and picked up this earthling and brought him back to your esteemed palace here. So, you know, maybe I can just do a little bit, you know what I mean? I can do my part a little bit and just try to be what you need me to be. Be your emperor. You know what I mean? Which really she's trying to use him as a diplomat. She's trying to use him as a politician. To be able to, I think the words that she used were peacemaker. So she wanted him. Because basically, what the Shi'ar Empire does is they go around, and this is what a lot of these space powers, they're just going around either collecting planets and the people from them, and either getting them to join their team, which is what the Shi'ar Empire does. They kind of like beat them up a little bit, and was like, "Hey, we beat you up, but there's other forces out there that will beat you up way bad, way way worse. So if you rock with us, then we'll protect you." That's basically what they do. So they're trying to use Professor X as the head colonizer, basically. She's like, I want you to teach everybody how we do. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I didn't realize that that's what I was here for. It's to be your drill sergeant and bring, you know, get everybody in line to what the Shi'ar Empire's what their guidelines are, rules are, or lifestyle practices, who knows, you know. So that's what she has for him. That's what she's trying to do. So they're trying to figure that out. We cut back to Storm. Storm is going through a spiritual awakening. She has to fight all of her fears in order to save Forge, which a lot, you know, in a lot of cases, most people wouldn't have, because Forge kind of is slightly the reason why she even had this issue to begin with, right? So she's kind of having like a real battle within herself. You know, some people say they're battling the enemy. Well, Storm was battling the inner me. Yeah, I had to do a pause on that. I had to do a little break just to make it more dramatic. The inner me. She was fighting the inner me, not the enemy. The inner. The inner. All right, sorry, y'all. I'm being silly today. Yeah, man. So she's over here fighting battle with herself. And eventually she, you know, she actually, you know, Forge comes out. Which I, the only reason I'm trying not to do like a play by play, but I keep, you know, kind of catching myself doing that. But the reason why I'm bringing up this Forge part again is because so Forge, you know, she's having the battle with the demon. Demon's talking in her ear, trying to get her to leave Forge. They're kind of going back and forth. She's trying to figure out how she's going to get Forge some help. And then Forge comes out and he's got, one of the Book of Spells, like Doctor Strange. So apparently, you know, his grandmother or aunt, I think he says his aunt, I don't remember. Or he might even said his mom. I really don't remember what Forge said, who in his family. One of the females in his family, that was their book, and they knew how to use it, and they taught him a couple things. So he cast out this demon from Storm. So now she's think, you know, she's a little more level-headed, and she's like, all right, what do I got to do? There's got to be, you got this little book of spells, so there's got to be something in there that'll help us heal you, right? And Forge was like, yeah, you know, people used to speak about some magical plant, healing plant, that was way up in the mountains somewhere. So Storm was like, all right, bet, I'm gonna go which way, I'm gonna go get it, and I'm gonna bring it back to you. Forge was like, eh, it's a nice little ride over there. Why don't I just roll with you? Because if you don't make it back in time and I die, I ain't trying to be by myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to die in your arms. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get some love. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be out here by myself, just dying by myself. I'm trying to be with you. So she's like, all right, well, I guess we just going to ride together then, see what happens. He's like, all right, cool. So they hit the way, and eventually they make it to where they're trying to go. Forge is almost gone, and he's like, the reason why I came with you is because this, it's a deep dark hole, and you got to climb up in there, and this, I know how you feel about tight spots. So she's got to face one more inner demon, because she's super claustrophobic. If you know, like I said, this is a continuation from the animated series from the early 90s. So they show all that. So this is, you know, plenty of episodes that they've shown where somebody just, in order to defeat Storm, they end up just boxing her in, and she freaks out, and she's done for the day. And they, you know, I mean, so we already know she got an issue. As the viewers, we already, the audience, we already know that. So they don't really go in depth about why, because we've already seen that. But on this day, she decides no more, because she's up there, she's starting to freak out a little bit. She looks down, she drops her flashlight, she's like, oh snap, I'm really up here in this confined spot doing this. And so then that's when the devil, the enemy, starts creeping back in, and she's like, well, I thought he cast you out. And he's like, yeah, you did cast me out, but you still think that you ain't nothing. So I'm here living with you, because I live in nothing, nothingness. So when you feel like you're nothing and you have nothing to offer, then that's where I come in, and I try to offer you something that's not going to help you. So that's where he comes in, devil creeping in. He trying to get in Storm's head, and she finally is like, nah. Nah, 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 nah. You don't understand. I have the power. I've had the power. And I still got the power. And then that's when we finally see it was her. She was placing the mental shackles on herself, and that Forge's machine actually did work. boom, we got the new age Storm with the black suit. Like, I thought that was dope. She came through with the black suit, which was like from the X-Men Unlimited or something like that they did, brought back in like the early 2000s TV show, after they had got rid of, you know, after they stopped the X-Men animated series. So yeah, man, that was dope. That was fire. She gets her power back. She's flying through the air. She's got, you know, huge thunderstorm. She defeated the demon. And get Forge hooked back up. And then all of that, she gets to all of that, and then at the end, she sees what happened in Genosha. What happened to the homie Remy? A real one. Big OG. Big dog, Remy. Remy LeBeau. Yeah, me and my homie Gambit, they did him dirty. They got him. So they show that cut back to my homie up in space, right? So Xavier has to try to figure out, okay, how's he gonna get the rest of the Shi'ar Empire to, you know, believe in him? And so then his future sister-in-law kind of comes up with this thing. She like tries to like intimidate Charles and like says, hey, well, he doesn't know our ways, and you know, they got some like handbook or something, whatever, with all their ways. And she tries to quote something from it, and he's like, nah, it's like kindergarten stuff. I finished that book my first 15 hours here, man. You know what I mean? I finished that quick. That's easy, light work. And so she's like, well, that's cool. I'm glad you did that, because then you'll know that I challenge you to do something, and then if you don't do it, then that means that you have to leave. Like, you're not allowed to be the emperor. And so he's like, all right, cool, whatever. And so then she says, all right, well, I want you to then renounce Earth, renounce your past history and everything, and renounce your X-Men, renounce everybody. And he's like, damn, I didn't really think this through. Charles was like, man, I ain't really think this through. She got me. I ain't trying to denounce nobody. That's my peoples. I ain't trying to say I don't know them like that. You feel me? So, you know, eventually his girl Lalandra's like, but can't you though? Can you do it for me, please? And she ain't taking no account Charles' feelings at all. She's just like, nah, if you're going, this is it, this is what you gotta do. You gonna be with me? You trying to be a part of this or not? You gotta renounce everything. That's what she asked. You gotta do it. So Charles is like, shh, man, I guess I'm gonna do it, right? So he goes to try to do it. They try to play him and say, because he hesitates and he don't want to give up, you know, say he don't want to lose all his memories, because basically what they're gonna do is they're legit gonna wipe his mind. So they're going to get rid of, basically they just need his verbal consent to do it. So that's what, so, you know, he can't say, well, they, you know, they did this without my consent. They brainwashed me. You know, he has to willingly say, hey, you can wipe my mind and brainwash me. So that's what they're trying to get him to do. He doesn't say it. But what he ends up doing is taking everybody to the astral planes, like, yo, sit classes in session. I'm about to teach y'all what y'all been doing and what we can do. And while he's doing that, he kind of, you know, he gets, I guess, like, as he's doing that, he also kind of feels while he's doing that, he tries to feel a connection with the X-Men. And when he does that, then that's when he realizes all the destruction and damage and peril that's happened, you know, in Genosha. And so then he's like, yo, I gotta go back. I gotta get back to my X-Men. I don't care what y'all doing right now, what y'all got going on, but they need me. And that's where we leave off for that episode. So that brings us into episode 7. We're almost there, y'all. We got, I think, 3 more episodes, 3 more weeks. And that'll bring us right into the Star Wars series that's gonna be coming on. So leads us into episode 7, called Bright Eyes. I'll read the little caption. So the X-Men finds Sentinel inventor Bolivar Trask, realizing they've been played by a mastermind. So that's what the little note says behind. So I actually wrote down some notes on this one. So, man, this episode was a lot. Starts out, they show Genosha. Everybody's grieving hard. They're at the funeral, which I think was back. They had Remy's body flown back stateside, and they have the funeral. So everybody's sad-eyed. They got all the different people. Like Remy's, I think his half brother. His Cajun brother that he grew up with out in the streets. There's a few other people that I think we met in that first animated series. I just don't remember their names. I still haven't been able to go back and rewatch that series. It's like 2 or 3 seasons. So it's a lot of episodes. I haven't been able to go back and watch them just yet. So I didn't recognize everybody that was at the funeral. So they have the funeral. There's one person missing, Rogue. Obviously, she's hurting the most. And my boy Kurt, Nightcrawler, gives the eulogy. And then Jubilee says, she's mad that Rogue didn't show. And that's when Nightcrawler's like, well, she's going through some things. She lost 2 of her lovers, you know what I mean? So it's she out here. And we low-key, we need to go check on her. Because she about to tear it up. So they show her, and she's smashing and dashing, just blowing up anything. She shows up at this top secret military base out in the middle of nowhere in the desert somewhere. And she just starts destroying stuff, and then she busts up in the building. And it's funny too, because the building, they show who's inside the building, and of course it's General Ross. General Ross. Which is obviously the Red Hulk, and also Betty Ross's dad, and one of Bruce Banner's nemesis, because he's always trying to get Bruce Banner locked up. So he says, "Hey, this building was made to keep the Hulk out, so we shouldn't be worried." But then here she comes, and she rips Rogue rips off the top of the building, and slides right in. And they're just amazed, because I don't think they forget that she's just as powerful as Captain Marvel. She talks to General Ross. She's looking for the people that, Oliver Trask and all these people that made the Sentinel, the mastermind Sentinel that killed Remy and killed Magneto. So they do that, and she's kind of ruffles General Ross's feather, ruffles him up a little bit to try to get some information, and he makes a comment. He's like, "I thought you guys were the good guys," and she's like, "Well, I thought y'all was supposed to be the good guys, but y'all been playing dirty, so now we playing dirty." So she beats him up, gets some info. And then she goes to where she's trying to get to. And when she gets there, there's somebody waiting there for her. And when they see her, they throw out the shield. Yeah, that's right, y'all. Captain America is waiting for her there. Waiting at this top secret base. And he takes her down into the basement. And they're talking. And he's like, "Yeah, I was looking for this dude too." And she's like, "Well, why don't you come with me and help us?" And Cap is like, "Well, I can't really right now. I'm sorry. Nobody is willing to." That's what's always funny. And this is why the X-Men have always been have always been their own, you know, done their own thing. Because even after all everything that's going, they literally just watched these Sentinels like blow up the Genosha. You know what I'm saying? And they still, even after all that, still, you know, don't want to, like, be a part or any or have anything to do with the X-Men, with the mutants. Which is, like, wild to me, you know what I mean? Which, you know, it's just funny because the way that I'm looking at it, remember when we talked about this kind of at the beginning before we talked about episode one, the context of what the X-Men, what the characters of the X-Men were originally supposed to represent, right? So remember we talked about Charles Xavier supposed to be originally when they were, when the creators of X-Men created Charles Xavier, he was supposed to be modeled after Martin Luther King, and Magneto, you know, he was supposed to be, you know, modeled after Malcolm X. So, and then obviously with all of that context, them both being mutants, therefore all mutants are supposed to symbolize and model and represent Black people in America. So if you look at it that way, it then should not surprise you that even after all of this, even after all of the battles, all the times that Captain America has gone to war with Wolverine by his side, still people still don't look at them as equal. They're still fighting an uphill battle. They built a whole island for mutants. We're going to accept them as part of the UN, as a United Nation. And then they watched as leaders in those in that UN destroyed Genosha. Pardon me. Pardon me. Look, I'm so disgusted by it. I'm sneezing. They watched it. Watched it on TV. Watched them, the Sentinels, destroy and murder and slaughter mutants, children out there. Mutant children lived on Genosha. And they watched it. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like anything happening today? That's when I'm watching it, the things that I'm looking for. So, you know, that's why y'all come here, to come hang out with me, get a little more insight when it comes to these, the nerd stuff. You know, we really be nerding around here. You feel me? So, yeah. So, they still don't want anything to do with the X-Men, right? So, you cut back to Genosha. The X-Men decide, all right, cool. We're going to head over to Genosha and we're going to meet up with the mutants there and let them know, hey, if ain't nobody else got your back, the X-Men got your back. We're going to keep trying to find more survivors, more people, and see what we can do, right? So they get there. That same lady that's been covering, Miss Tilby, that's been covering the X-Men, you know, trying to get ready for this UN summit at Genosha, and you know, she flies over there, and so she takes a walk with Beast off camera, and they're talking, and you know, they're kind of talking about, well, what are the X-Men gonna do, how, you know, how do then, because of, you know, how then do we try to take what happened here and learn from it so that we're not continuing the cycle, right? That's what they're trying to have a conversation about. And the Miss Tilby says, you know, a lot of mutants are kind of taken to the streets right now. And then Beast says, well, riots are the language of the unheard. And then Miss Tilby says, MLK, like saying, oh, okay, you're quoting Martin Luther King Jr. here. And then she says, but there's still like, she basically says, like, breaking stuff isn't the answer. And, you know, if y'all weren't breaking stuff, maybe it'd be a little bit easier for the humans to accept you and tolerate you. And so then that kind of, she doesn't say those exact words, but that's what Beast heard. He read between the lines. And so he kind of like hits her with the, well, like, all right, well, I guess maybe we were wrong from the beginning. And this is where you can start to see the shift, right? You can start to see the shift from it being Charles Xavier's X-Men to Magneto's X-Men, where now they're starting to, okay, well, we done watched you guys just murder all our leaders. We done watched you guys, you know, sit there and humiliate us when all we're trying to do is help you guys. We done saved the world how many different times, and you guys still just see us as less than. So B said, it's cool, man. We just gonna do our own thing now. maybe we was wrong. We were wrong. We were the ones who were wrong, forever thinking that you would accept us. Magneto was right. Magneto was right. Shout out to For All Nerds. They've been campaigning that saying, hashtag Magneto was right. He was right. He was right. So Rogue is on her mission. She finally finds Oliver Trask, and she's like, yo, I don't know what you thought this was, but this is me. So I ain't gonna give you no type of mercy. I'm sucking the life out of you until I figure out where the person is that I'm trying to find is. And that's literally what she did. So she took her glove off, started sucking the life out of him and taking all of his essence until she found out everything that she needed to know. And then she dipped and left him to die. Because she's pissed. So then she finally meets up with the X-Men. Because she kind of like, usually when she sucks the life out of somebody, like, she kind of blacks out a little bit. And then, you know, she wakes up after the fact. So her people find her, the X-Men find her, and they like give her hugs and love and say, it's okay, we know you lost both of your men, it's all right, we still love you, we still here. And then together they go and they find the scientist, Oliver Trask, and they start talking to him, and he's like on the ledge, he's about to jump, because he's like, yo, Sinister did this to me, and he used my DNA to create the mastermind, and he's got more things coming. It's going to be worse. I don't want him to use any part of me for this. You know, I don't want to be associated. I want to be a part of this. I can't do it no more. I can't do it any longer. So he's on the edge of the roof, ready to jump. He tries to jump. Rogue grabs him. Was like, nah, son, you going to tell us what we want to hear first. And he's like, yo, they got something else coming. They've been Sinister's working with somebody else, and they got all these genetically engineered artificial intelligent bots, which, spoiler on top of the spoiler, Nimrod is coming. For those that know, Nimrod is like the ultimate. When they get into the, when they had the battles with the Sentinels in the future, Cable and Bishop, and then, you know, eventually Forge, that's the end of the X-Men is Nimrod. Literally demolishes and extincts the X-Men. Like, when you see the future on the earlier, you know, the earlier animated series, that's what they, like, the future that they're trying to prevent is the Nimrod future. So they show, you know, they kind of get in Trask's head, and they see like a little glimpse of Nimrod. And then Rogue is like, all right, cool, that's all we needed. And just lets him lets him go, lets him die. And then Morph is like, yo, what are you doing? Like, that's who we are now? And, well, you know, Wolverine's like, hey, she just did what we were all trying to do, what we were all thinking. you know how Logan is. He's like, yeah, by humbug, you know what I mean? And then my man pops back up, rose up. He said, nah, I ain't dead. I'm still rocking, still Millie rocking out here. And, of course, it's the early prototype of Nimrod because he can shoot his hands off like Nimrod. He's, you know, learning from everything they're doing. Eventually, they end up escaping because Cable comes and he helps them and throws out a what are they called? The electromagnetic pulse, EMPs, threw out one of those. And it disrupted the electronics, and then he shut off. But yeah, so then they show, you know, they had that little scene where they figure out, okay, Cable is obviously Scott Summers' son. And he's like, yeah, skip all that reunion stuff. We got to go. We got bigger fish to fry. And so then we cut to the end scene, and they show Sinister talking to somebody. And for those that don't know, that is Kilgrave, a.k.a. the Purple Man. And that's why the song that they're playing, when they show him, he puts on a record. It's called The Purple People Eater. That's supposed to be a little Easter egg to let you know who they're talking about. And, or, you know, who this person is. Obviously, it's the Purple Man. Kilgrave, and he's sitting and messing with and torturing Magneto. So Magneto is still alive. He is not dead. What is interesting, though, is Kilgrave has a very unique power. So he can control people's mind, like literally almost anyone. He can make you do stuff, even harm yourself. But you can be completely under his control. He just kind of has to be somewhere close within the area. And then he can control people. Once he's got you, like, he pretty much has you for the rest of your life. Like, he just can't, if he's not near, then you're good. But the moment he, like, comes back, he can kind of get you back into control. If you don't have the mental strength to get him back out. So, like, perfect example, if you want to get insight into Kilgrave and how powerful and how what he's all about, if you watch the Jessica Jones, which it's on Disney now, but the Jessica Jones episodes, live action episodes that were on Netflix, I guess, almost 10 years ago now, it was like 2016, 14, 15-ish, 16, 17, I think, around then. When they were doing the Defenders, and they had Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Daredevil, all those live-action episodes. So Jessica Jones, on the first season, has battles with Kilgrave. That's the big villain. And there's an episode where, spoiler, I'm doing spoiler on top of spoiler on top of spoiler, sorry. So there's an episode where Luke Cage gets controlled, and he... him and Jessica Jones go at it. It's kind of fierce because they're both, you know, superhuman strength and indestructible and stuff. So that's actually some really cool episodes. That's how I fell in love with the Jessica Jones series, was that Kilgrave. I thought he was one of the best villains I've ever seen, especially on on TV. You know, in the comic books is different. You're able to do more with the comics, drawing it and stuff, than turning it on into something 3D for the movie or for television or movies. It's a little bit harder. So yeah, man, we got it. So Kilgrave, that's going to be interesting, especially with Charles trying to come back. You almost don't want him to come back because you don't want him to fall under Kilgrave's spell. Like, if some of these X-Men start getting under Kilgrave's spell, like Wolverine, you don't want Wolverine to be controlled by somebody else. This is interesting. I really don't know how this is going to end. I need like one more episode. Let me get episode 8, and then I'll start making my predictions on how this season's gonna end. But yeah, man, like I said, this is X-Men 97 is fire flames.
You guys like hip hop? I like hip hop. So we're gonna start off. The song's gonna go, it's gonna have a little swing to it, and it's gonna go like this. It's for my hip hop bass, check the movement. Once I grab this microphone, man, I lose it.
And we back, and we back. All right, I know, we're back. So, check it. I haven't really listened to a whole lot of stuff. This week I was, I don't know what I was listening to. Oh, I got this playlist, like my summertime, springtime playlist. So I listen to that a lot while I'm cleaning and doing stuff. So I was listening to that like pretty much all week. So I really didn't listen to anything new. I did kind of take a quick peek at The Alchemist and producer. Oh no, I can't talk today. Oh no, The Disruptor. Also, for those that don't know, we've talked about him on here before. He put out the Heavy Vibrato with Elzai. So Ono and Alchemist, they've teamed up many and plenty times before. They go by the name Gangrene. Uh-oh, it didn't hook up the way it's supposed to. Hold on. All right, let's connect back to the correct Bluetooth here so y'all can hear it through the speakers. Connected. All right, so they have a new album out. Let's see here. Called Heads I Win, Tails You Lose. So we're actually getting some Alchemist bars, too. I'm only getting one song that's loading, though. Title be acting funny. That was a bar. All right, let's see. Let me just open back title and see if it'll show me the whole album. I kind of just quick. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really on it like that. So I can't tell y'all a whole lot about it because I didn't really listen to it like that. It was quick. I didn't analyze it. And for some reason, title is being funny today. I feel like this always happens anytime I'm trying to show y'all something on title. We always end up doing this little dance here where title wants to work, but then it doesn't work, and then it kind of works, it kind of loads. It'll give me one song off the album that loads. I think it's also because I have crappy Wi-Fi too, probably. It's not giving me anything. What's up with that? What'd it do? All right, well, I might just have to play you this song. It's the only song that's loading. It's called Dinosaur Jr. If this will even load. Yes. Let's see here. All right, we got that one. There we go.
Do go on your face with a razor and spill a ketchup out. The only way I know how to send a message out. Slid your foot in my ballet shoe and you stretched it out. Beloved, that's a bad fit.
She giving them heavy beats. You know that signature sound. So this one's called Muffler Lung. Some people call it no drum music. So yeah, it's, you know, like I said, I haven't sat with it, so I don't want to, I can't really analyze it just yet. I think maybe I gotta look at the date. Let me see what it is when next weekend. Cause I was gonna say by the next time we do this. Nah, we still got. I gotta see. Low key, actually, yeah, the next week would be February, or would be May 3rd, which would be the day of the album that I'm excited for, Slum Village album, the Fun album. That's when we're really gonna get in depth, as far as that. But I remember last week we talked about the Still Outside battle rap event, so I wanted to be respectful of the pay per view, so I didn't want to just play a bunch of audio from there. But now that it's been out for a little bit. I will say, I think there's a few people that stood out. Definitely O Solo, grabbed the room. Bill Collector kind of went ham and grabbed the room. Tay Rock had that Bill Collector versus Tay Rock was the most even battle. Geechee Gotti kind of went in on the hometown a little bit. Joey Linwood. I just think that. You know, he got him with, I guess you'll see. See if it'll load here without messing up. Uh-oh. We're getting close. I might have to back this up. Pardon me. Trying to load this up while I'm recording. I might just be messing everything up. That would be very unfortunate. Oh, this is part three. We don't want part three. All right. Oh, that was a bar when he had that. He said, Joey Linwood, that kind of lit up the room. He said, clip hold 16s and it go both ways like the Dexter bus. And if you're from the area, obviously, you know that Dexter bus, that infamous Dexter bus when it comes to hip hop. I think Cash Doll just shot a video off the Dexter bus when she redid the Blade song. All right, so let's see. I'm gonna try to load up this first round. You can tell, you can tell the difference, and this is why I think Geechee Gotti got Joey Linwood. Shout out to Joey Linwood though, representing the D to the fullest. I think he's dope. It just, you know, this battle, I think Geechee might have got him. Man, it's part two. I wanted part one. All right, keep y'all entertained for a sec. Let's see. Here we go. Apparently, part one is in the middle of the folder. Does that make sense? All righty. Let's let this load up. And we'll analyze a few of these bars. Bars. Now let's see, it's loading up. Hopefully it'll get there right on time. By the time my recording bar gets, nope. a little bit. All right, here we go. Part one. Geechee Gotti versus Joey Linwood.
Battle rapper to my right, introduce yourself.
So you can already start to tell the difference. We couldn't hear him. So you hear somebody said that we couldn't hear him. We was trying to show Joey mad love, but we couldn't hear him. And that hurt him. The rappers weren't mic'd up at all.
Hey, yo, quiet down, phone's off. Get you on the coin toss, it's on Joey.
Hold on, let me get in there.
What he said. Drop 60 like I'm Gilbert Arenas. Says something about he's living proof, like double entendre, talking about Proof, the rapper. He says, man, I still didn't hear it this time too, but he says something and then reference Hamtramck. So of course that Hamtramck is a city in inside of the city of Detroit, so that hit. Said he went from the ring to the pod, I think, like Joe Rogan.
Detroit!
only wisdom he got was a whooping mask. To a nigga Dennis.
So you can see Geechee's volume and delivery. Be a menace and drink while drinking juice in the hood. He said, serving the fiends to their teeth missing. That was Kashawn Rocks. That was fire. Still gonna let you down. They put down the casket. Respect my pops. My gun was a father figure. That was a crazy bar. I was trying to rearrange.
I'm like, it's like basketball. I can't dunk.
like my rap.
Trying to mess up the hat for us. Yeah, man. Fire. So yeah, more of that. If you like that, you like, you know, listen to the bars and hear me kind of analyze them and flip them for, you know, help you guys be able to understand them. More of that on the Patreon episodes. Until then, though, I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. If you're going down to the draft, all my Metro Detroiters, have fun. Hit me up on all the socials. Follow me on Instagram. Make sure you guys rate, subscribe, like the show on Apple. On Apple Podcasts, you can rate and review. Make sure you do that, please, because it helps us, you know, get noticed more. You know what I mean? It helps us be able to show up whenever someone's like, hey, order podcasts. Oh, this is cool. I like music. What podcasts are about music? That helps, you know, the MC Nerd Jock show be able to rise up in those rankings. Just review us, man. Give us a little, you know, however many stars. Let us know how you really feel. You feel me? I'm cool with that. I'm cool with criticism. We'll just use it as a way to try to make this product better for you guys. So yeah, man. This is what we're doing. Hopefully you guys have been enjoying it. Peace, man. Love y'all. And I will see you guys next week. Deuces.
This episode of the MC Nerd Jock Show was brought to you by the United Negro Podcasting Guild of America, where we be podcasting. This episode was recorded at an undisclosed location in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. Edited in an undisclosed studio in New Baltimore, Michigan. All episodes of the MC Nerd Jock Show are brought to you by GC Productions. You already know. The intro and outro of the MC Nerd Jock Show are produced by none other than the legendary producer, Slumber Logic.